Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, everybody. Want to remind you guys again, the Dribble Drive against cancer is coming up November 16th. Zaslow is going to be leading the way, 13.8 miles. Miami Cancer Institute all in Kendall, all the way to the American Airlines Arena. If you guys want to participate or donate, go to heathelpcure.org. You guys could also do the shorter 3.3 mile Dribble Drive, which is from Vizcaya to the arena. Then there's the Dribble Drive Dash, which is around the perimeter of the arena. It's all part of our Heat Help Cure campaign, as Entercom, the Heat, and Miami Cancer Institute are continuing our partnership to find a world and a cure for cancer. November 16th.
HeatHelpCure.org, right?
HeatHelpCure.org. Ira Winneman's going to join us in about 20 minutes, but let's get to some headlines.
Yep.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
All right, I guess we'll start with the Heat because they are 2-0 in the preseason, beating the Charlotte Hornets handily last night, 108-94.
Yeah, you guys didn't say anything about my Chris Quinn cat.
I mean, it's nothing new for you.
The only thing I noticed about that picture was Ed Malloy talking with Spo and Chris Quinn.
Chris Quinn looked so upset, like his eyes were bugging out. He looked very catty.
Oh, Ed Malloy!
Really?
What?
Very catty.
He did! You don't think he looks like a feline here?
He was giving the death look to Ed Malloy.
It was more like, I don't know, like he was in disbelief.
But you think he becomes a head coach someday?
Chris Quinn?
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps.
Well, maybe.
Perhaps.
College.
Perhaps.
College?
College.
Yeah, it's college. I could see a college team making him a head coach.
He's got some NBA chops, though. He's got some NBA chops.
Yeah.
He could make he could definitely be a pro.
He seems like a guy who started college and then work his way up to the NBA.
Do you think that Chris Quinn looks better when he's on a scratch post, or do you think he looks better when he is looking after the little fishy toy?
Scratch. I like the scratch post.
Oh my goodness.
By the way, Philly Cheese looked good last night. 19 points, 4-5 from downtown.
Philly Cheese.
Duncan Strokinson brought it in the second half.
He needed to.
He had a rough first half, but he found that slump buster in the locker room, whatever that was.
Look, Dunk, we've laid it all out here for you, all right, man? Just do it. Do you. Go out there and stroke like you can stroke. All right? More of that third quarter. That's what we need from you, all right?
I'm sure he's listening. He won despite not having Jimmy Butler, Goran Dragic, and Justin Winslow. They stayed
because they played Charlotte. That's why.
Charlotte is bad.
Yeah, they're bad.
Charlotte is the Dolphins of the NBA.
Someone had a great tweet because isn't Michael Jordan like a minority owner of the Marlins that he's going to lose like 170 games this year combined?
Is he really a minority owner of the Marlins, or is that just like a thing they tried?
I don't know. Is it like more?
Has
of
he
like
been to a Marlins game yet?
I don't know. Is it like a Williams sister, J-Lo, like the whole?
No, because they actually went to games. I haven't seen Jordan at one Marlins game. Has he been here?
Would you?
That was the orange carpet.
That's ignorance on my part. I don't remember seeing him.
Throw out a first pitch?
No.
Minority owner, if he throw out a first pitch.
Yeah, all these minority owners that Jeets has rounded up, they all need to throw first pitches next year, including Jeets. All right?
You want Jeets to throw out a first pitch?
Jeets is out here, and he's talking about we need more attendance, and he wants that without the fact that they've been a better team. All right? 100 losses this year. We need to start using Jeets like a show pony.
Why doesn't Jeets just put himself in the lineup? More people would show up.
I just think here's what we got to do. You know what? We'll do activated Jeets one day.
Yeah.
All right. Player owner.
Sure.
We'll do Jeets dunk tank. All right. You get to throw the baseball. Try and put Jeter in the dunk. Why not? Still in good fun. All right. Macho Mons man will MC.
Okay. I mean.
All right.
Posada out there.
Yeah, fine, if you want to. This is more Jeets, though. Jeets got to start pulling his weight with the promotions.
Activate Mattingly for a game?
Nah. Activate Jeets. Mattingly's too long in the tooth. All right? Because, you know, if Jeter wants the attendance in the turnstiles, he's going to have to go to those jabroni Yankee fans that are in town. That's what's going to have to happen. Going to have to just do autograph signings every day, like Michael Jordan in Space Jam, losing to the Monstars. Either that or get us better players. I don't know what to tell you, Jeets.
Who else is a minority owner besides Jordan? Is there anyone else that is famous?
Somebody said, did Jimmy Butler not travel because he's mad at Michael Jordan for being an absent father? I think he looks like Jamie Foxx. Old school Jamie Foxx.
Anywho.
It is a funny YouTube video, though. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
What?
Jimmy Butler, the long-lost son of Michael Jordan.
Yes. We talked about that like 6 months ago or something like that. Baseball.
I just wanted to point out that Mike Pouncey, our old friend, he's out for the season. Season-ending neck injury.
Really?
Yeah. Neck surgery.
It wasn't his hips?
It's not his hips.
That's an upset.
But he's always letting him go. He's always injured.
Speaking of football, Avante's perfect season-long suspension upheld by the NFL.
Of course it was.
Did they say why?
Yeah, they don't like him.
Reputation.
It's just a menace.
They just don't like him. Thursday night football tonight, Pats hosting the Giants. Also tonight, we've got game 5 between the Astros and Rays. If you missed last night, the Cards blow out the Braves 13-1.
Yeah. Say it again. Oh, wait.
The Cardinals blow out the choking Braves 13-1. And keeper of the game, Brian McCann, retired.
Oh, yeah. Can't say that we're going to miss you there, bum-ass McCann. Hit the bricks. We don't want you here no more. You're not allowed in this ring and arena no more. Take your unwritten rules and do ourselves a favor. Have an unwritten biography that no one's going to read. And Ronald Acuna, if you complain one more time about getting hit in the elbow, I'm going to give you the elbow off the top rope. You did what you do, Braves. You end the season. You like to do a little thing we call extra credit, which is playing one extra series a year before getting bounced, and leave this to big boy baseball. Now we don't have to talk about you again until you're inevitably leading the NL East, and you'll be losing again next October. No further questions, Mean Gene. Now talk about sad-ass Kershaw.
The Dodgers had their own issues last night as the Nats came back, beat the Dodgers 7-3 in 10 innings. Kershaw gave up back-to-back solo shots in the eighth inning.
What do you think that's like, having your franchise player be the best, but he is so bad in the postseason? Like, he gives you so much joy.
He's not the first, and he won't be the last.
All the time, but he is bum consistently.
I got to tell you, for as dominant a pitcher as he has been, in the postseason, man.
Terrible.
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 I guess it's like Peyton Manning before he won his first Super Bowl.
No. That's different, man.
He wasn't terrible.
But football's a team sport.
It's like James. Right? It would be like a Rockets fan being James Harden, knowing he's gonna fold when it comes to like game 6 or 7.
Oh, yeah. Yep. James Harden's up there. Elimination game. Oof.
I'm going with impact guys. If you said it about, say, I mean, Peyton Manning, he always had the excuse, terrible defense, no running game, blah, 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 blah.
But, like, Peyton Manning did eventually, like, when did Peyton Manning win to his career? A decade? Right? Like, they won in 07, so that was a decade after he got drafted?
Yep.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. Clayton Kershaw, you think Clayton Kershaw's ever going to win a World Series?
I mean.
And be the reason for it?
No.
But my thing is that all the information that you have, and a lot of these guys are numbers guys, you don't bring Clayton Kershaw in unless you need a out.
It's almost one of those things where it feels like the manager's going to do it. Just be like, yeah, this is your time, Clayton.
Right.
You show him.
Right.
Shut him down.
Right. And then he gets rocked and you're like, whoops,
like,
my bus.
Oh, he actually did go out and did what everybody thought he was going to do.
Right.
Crazy. Anything else, Beast?
Not really. The Hurricanes have announced that N'Kosi Perry will start at quarterback tomorrow night.
Very exciting.
Shocker there.
As they're still
favored. I like the Friday night football.
Favored by a point.
I do.
And it's
just one more extra day to be miserable.
It's going to be tough goings.
You got a Saturday aggravation free. You can watch all the college football on Saturday and not be aggravated. I mean, you're going to be upset going into Saturday because the Canes are going to lose on Friday. But
I just don't want I want Miami to win. All right, get this thing right.
LSU.
And then I want LSU to kick the crap out of the Gators so I don't have to hear from Jethro on Monday. That's all I want.
I would love to see Froggy Ed Orgeron.
Yeah, I want to see shirtless Ed Orgeron.
Somebody compared Kershaw to Jay Rich. Except Jay Rich is not in the Hall of Fame.
Jay Rich is not regarded as the best.
Right. He has the highest ERA in postseason elimination game history.
Jesus, that's crazy.
But if you're a manager, and your job is to win. Do you push aside, you know, how you feel about the player and you try to win?
I think you have to. It's not even feeling about the player. I think you have to push that stuff aside because you got to believe that he's eventually going to be him.
Except for it's never happened.
I know.
That's what I'm telling you.
But like, if, like, God, like, this is what I mean. Like, if you were Mike D'Antoni and you knew it was game seven, would you give the final shot to James
Harden? It's different, though.
Is it?
Yes. That's big time different.
How?
Because it's not just a moment. See, because, look, I do believe that in those moments, you give the ball to James Harden at the end of a game, he has a 40% chance of making it. Even if he's not made it, his statistics state that he's 40%.
I know, but the weird thing is, like, what you're saying is, like, regular season statistics. His statistics do go down in the postseason.
Sure.
Like, so.
Sure.
I think most of the point, aren't you supposed to, you're supposed to believe in the numbers that are throughout the season?
But for a one-shot deal, yes, I'm going with my best guy. It's just one shot. Now, if I have to choose in an inning for baseball, one inning to win the World Series, are you doing your team a disservice by putting Clayton Kershaw up there knowing what you know? Having the history, having the statistics of what you know, right? Do you put him out there? I get it. It's the same thing with pitching Verlander on, was it 2 or 3 days rest?
Short rest, yeah.
Short rest.
But the short rest thing I get because short.
On that team?
Short rest. No.
But short rest on that team?
No. Short rest I get as far as why he would be terrible. Like, you're taking
right.
a guy out of
sure.
his routine.
Sure.
I know he's coming out of the pen.
Sure.
But, I mean.
How about this? Think about this.
You can't give up back-to-back home runs.
I know. How about this? Think
two
about this.
Two pitches.
The way he has pitched in the postseason and what the coach knows of that, right, and where you are. Right? Like, I'm a firm believer Verlander shouldn't have pitched on short rest. Why? Why? You won 100? They won 107 games. You need to pitch your ace on 2 days rest after winning 107 games?
It's weird.
If I'm on that team, I'm thinking, yo, what did I do all year?
Oh, man. We'll talk a little Heat. Ira Windeman, he is going to join us. We'll talk a little bit at the start of the Heat preseason next.
I always like keeping track of the fringe guys. Tell me about Kendrick Nunn.
Bam on the right wing against Zeller. Shows him his right shoulder. Good pass down inside. Nunn, easy layup. What a good pass from the great cut by Miami. Coach is going to like to see that action. That's exactly what he's looking for. Good cut down there. Good pass down inside. The Heat on a little 6-0 run.
Oh, Beast, you got to be thrilled, man. We can talk some Kendrick Nunn today.
Nope, not going to ask a question. I was on.
No, I was on
in the offseason.
Oh, I'm going to ask it. Ira Windeman joins us on the guest line around Field of Dallas Community Stores guest line. Truly says beyond convenient. Go ahead. Ask Ira about Kendrick Nunn. Your boy.
Big game last night. Kendrick Nunn, Ira.
Beast, as soon as it was over, Kendrick Nunn comes up to me. He goes, tell Beast I am doing fine, and thank you so much for your great concern. So that's why. I think you were the motivation. Matter of fact, I know you've seen the Heat players wear those shirts of other Heat players.
Yes.
It was so weird. I get in the locker room opened, and there's Kendrick Nunn with a Beast T-shirt on. Just unbelievable.
Must have been huge.
Well, other than Kendrick Nunn, I think nobody was happier that Jimmy Butler was left home than Deion Waiters because Philly Cheese got to cook a little bit yesterday. Good performance by him, man.
You know, it was kind of odd, guys, because during the game, I'm watching Deion Waiters play off the bench, and he was terrific, you know, in that first half, the only half that he played. And I'm writing this story, oh, it makes sense, Vinny Johnson 2.0, Jimmy Butler scores in the first unit, Deion scores in the second unit. Speak to Eric Spoelstra after the game. Well, Deion has that igniteability. I could see him in that kind of role. And then Deion is sitting by his locker, feet in the ice bucket. No. I am not playing a reserve. That's not what I want. And I said, well, you played off the bench the first two games. And he goes to me, you know why that is. Talk to someone else after that. They said that this is, at this point, punitive by Eric Spoelstra until Deion Waiters gets into optimal shape. So I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a matter of when Deion is in the shape Eric Spoelstra wants, he will be a starter again. The question is when or if Deion gets into that shape. So our sort of first mini controversy of the preseason.
Sounds like they're playing games because guess what? Deion's going to be busting his butt to ball out coming off the bench to prove that he could start. And Spo's looking at it like, you know what? He plays that role pretty well. I'm going to leave him there. And what are we going to do when that situation presents itself?
Yeah, you know what, Leroy? I think it's going to get to critical mass. I think if no, the number one thing for Deion Waiters is getting buckets, number 1A is being stubborn. And we've seen it over the years. And it could be stubborn with his conditioning. It could be stubborn with his attitude of sharing the rocket time. So I think Spo realizes that to get maximum Deion, you have to have happy Deion. So he's going to push him. And you know, Deion, if you look at where he is right now, conditioning-wise, and he's good enough to do that against mostly mainline Charlotte players, not their fringe guys, in the first half, it's encouraging. But, man, it is always something. I get it. I guess it's that stubbornness to think that you are great is what drives you. But on the other hand, I got to tell you guys, I think Deion Waiters as a sixth man would be a wonderful role on this team when you have Jimmy Butler starting and then to have that quality of offense coming off the bench. But I'm telling you, Deion could not have shook his head in more of a stern way at me and laughed me off, basically, when I asked the question last night about him playing off the bench. That is not happening.
I remember we had him, we talked to him on media day right after he signed the contract, and he was almost befuddled that the Heat went after Gordon Hayward instead of him first. So, like, I get it, but even Deion has to realize after what he came off last year and them signing Jimmy Butler, like, this isn't passing the torch, you know, Wade County to Waiters County. Like, like times have changed since the 30-11 run.
And Deion told me after the game, that's because I haven't been healthy since the 30-11 run. Remember, he was on the bench at the end of that run with the ankle. Look, this is the irrational confidence that drives him. If Deion Waiters did not have irrational confidence, nothing else would work. I get that part of the equation. So what Eric Spoelstra is doing is pushing that irrational confidence by making him get, instead of not in great shape, but great, great shape. So it's a little cat and mouse right now. We have no clue about the Heat starting lineup when it comes to regular season. I still think it should be Dragic, Waiters, and Butler in some form. You could fill in power forward. Others believe that Justice Winslow has to be in the perimeter rotation. So I think Eric's going to keep all of us guessing a bit. They're off now till a Monday exhibition against Atlanta. But I think his whole message is that, wow, I have two guys in my locker room that I demanded get into shape. Deion is buying in, so I am going to push, push, push. With James Johnson, the pushing doesn't start until he returns. So I think Eric Spoelstra thinks he's winning. I think Deion's thought is, let Eric Spoelstra think he's winning, but at the end of the day, I'm starting. if five different guys start the opener, I think Deion will still walk out on the court. You know, one of you guys is going to have to step aside. It'll get interesting, guys, believe me.
Ira, speaking of James Johnson, any update on when he might rejoin the team?
Well, we spoke to Pat Riley on Monday, and he was confident, and he said sometime this week. And let's face it, guys, it did not make sense to bring him back either of these last two games. He hasn't been at camp at all. This is the moment of truth. The Heat are off today, on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday. They plan to practice three of those days, play Atlanta on Monday. If ever there was a chance to have sort of a mini training camp for James Johnson, bring in the fringe players, really get him going, get him up to speed, this is it. So I would say this. This is a minor blip for the Heat if James Johnson comes back and they announce today or tomorrow. If James Johnson is not with the team in uniform on the bench for Monday's exhibition against the Hawks at American Airlines Arena, then this is not a little thing. And then I firmly believe this is the kind of thing that goes to the Players Association and they step in and they're going to say, look, there are certain reasons you can keep someone away from your team, away from his teammates, but being 2 or 3 pounds overweight is not one of them. I don't think the Heat wants that kind of critical mass. I would expect them to reinstate him sometime in the next few days.
Could JJ end up being on the end of the bench and never playing? Because it seems like with the way they're doing everything, even when he comes back, what is he going to be able to do in shape, in the best shape? What is he going to be able to do to get on the court?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, Leroy, and I still believe this, that the Heat will never say that. Are you guys telling me if Jimmy Butler came in 2 pounds overweight, they would do the same thing? Are you telling me if Tyler Hero came in overweight? Are you telling me if Bam Adebayo did? I think they were looking for an example guy who they could say, hey, if this guy is not ready for opening night, if we push this thing, Eric Spoelstra, can you still build your most optimal rotation? The answer is yes. We're seeing now that a power forward, the Heat enjoy going big. They've gone with Myers Leonard and Bam Adebayo the first two exhibitions. Kelly Olynyk is out. He could fill into that Myers Leonard role. So all of a sudden, if James Johnson is not a power forward anymore, and he's the small forward he had been throughout his career, well, you have Justice Winslow there. You have Jimmy Butler there. Mm-hmm. You have Deion and Tyler Hero in the rotation on the wing. So I think this was calculated also that if there is no James Johnson, are you going to be okay? And I think the coaching staff said, yeah, we will be fine. He's going to have to earn his way back. And let's face it, at the end of last season, he wasn't a rotation player either. The hard part is he has 2 years left on his contract worth over $30 million. So you're going to sort of have dead money sitting there also.
Well, everybody was excited the first preseason game, Ira, by the performance of the first-round pick, Tyler Hero. He's been getting a lot of praise from all the veterans. I mean, everybody's been, you know, speaking high, which I feel like is a stark contrast to when Justice and Jarrett, everybody gave the rookies the hard time. Everybody seems to be really, really talking up what Tyler does, and then he goes and performs like that. It's interesting because he's kind of the first Heat rookie I can remember in a while, maybe since Beasley, that comes in with his first asset really being his offense. What do you think his role will be for this team if he is part of the future for them?
Well, I think it'll be sort of he's being positioned now, sort of, you know, do the litmus test early, do the heat check, see if it's his night, if it's not his night. The Heat have a bunch of those guys. They obviously have Deion we saw last night. We know Jimmy's going to have his moments. Beast will be happy to know. I think Kendrick Nunn will have his moments. They have enough guys there that can sort of be ignitable, like Eric Spoelstra says. So I think that's how they play him. But I do think they want to develop him. So, look. He had a great shooting night game one, not a great shooting night game two. But the fact is the minutes are consistent, and he started yesterday tells me this. If there were any questions about Tyler Hero being a rotation player, those are over. He's going to be a top eight or top nine player. They are going to develop him, and they're going to develop him for another reason. It might even be as a trade asset. And as I wrote in my blog today, the fact that Anton Jameson, the director of player personnel for the Wizards, was at the game last night, Bradley Beal hasn't signed his extension. He has an October 21 deadline. I think the Heat are also, to a degree, showcasing as well as playing guys right now. Matter of fact, I'm going to throw it to all three of you guys, my capologist friends and experts. I threw this to a bunch of Heat people at the game yesterday, people not directly associated with the team. This trade, would you do it or not do it at this very moment? Would you trade Tyler Hero with Justice Winslow for Bradley Beal? Go ahead, gentlemen. Mm. Talk amongst yourselves.
No, because John Wall's attached to that.
What? No, he's
okay,
saying.
But I'm saying not. I'm saying not.
Just for Bradley Beal.
I think that package is good enough. You don't have to take the filler. So just that straight package I gave you.
No, I wouldn't. Here's why.
Tobin wouldn't do it because he already came up with a nickname.
Because the two players that you're trading are, in effect, four or five players with the things that they can do on the court. Whereas
versatility, okay.
Right.
This is the one thing I would say.
And okay. They're young.
Okay, but here's the thing. You just gave Jimmy Butler a heap of money. He's 30, all right?
Yep.
Bradley Beal's already a star. I don't know what Tyler Hero's going to be. I don't know what Justice Winslow's going to be. Okay. We think that they're nice players. I know Bradley Beal's a nice player. I know he's a running mate with
okay,
Jimmy Butler.
But understand the versatility you're giving up, right, with those two guys. When it gets to crunch time during a season or maybe a series, that versatility is going to be more effective than Bradley Beal making threes.
I bet Riley does it.
You know what, guys? And I asked six people that question. It got split down the middle. And I think Tobin's point is valid for this reason, Leroy. Right now, if you wait to 2021 free agency, that's one of the answers I got. Hey, why give up assets? You can just sign them in 2021 when you should have the space, depending on this whole China situation. But the other point I got was this. By then, you will have already paid $70 million to Jimmy Butler. So you're sort of on the win now clock right now, which does make me wonder if Pat Riley needs to push this up. So I think it is interesting that there's two sides to that, and I think we'll all be looking at that October 21 extension deadline for Bradley Beal as well.
Yeah, the thing that just interested me with Riley, because it was funny, you know, we played his press conference, it was like 2 years ago, and he was like, yeah, you know, I'm not a draft pick guy. And then, you know, he does a sit down with Jason Jackson, he goes, people who say that, you know, they're so wrong with the draft pick. And they've been good with the young development. Like, to think this has been a franchise that does always, you know, default to going and getting the star.
But they don't necessarily need a draft to develop players.
I understand, but they have been good. That has been such a great skill set of them, developing young guys. But I think Riley is still going to go to his roots. If you tell him, at the end of the day, would you go get a guy who is in the prime of his career, who's establishing himself as an all-star in this league? Yeah, I think he's going to do it.
And, right. And that's why I think it's interesting. And look, the last guy he truly developed into the cusp of stardom, Josh Richardson, ultimately turned into a trade asset.
Right.
And I will say this. There is no way you could have better showcased Tyler Herro than what we've seen in the last few months. No player was featured more in Las Vegas Summer League, number one. Number two, he leads the Heat in shots in game one of the exhibition season. Boom, he's out there. Second game of his exhibition career, he's in the starting lineup. So certainly if anyone was taking a look at the player, the Heat have made sure he is on complete and total display as well.
How about Deion?
As far as what?
Trade Deion. He'd get a chance to play. He'd be all for it.
He might, but like you're not getting Bradley Beal for him.
No, but I'm saying, how about Deion and one of those young guys?
I don't think he has the value because I think a team like the Wizards would say this.
Young talent.
Winslow and Herro are young.
Right.
By the time we get our other draft picks and develop and maybe even get a healthy John Wall, who knows, down the road. It's not like John's over the hill already. Maybe that's a possibility. So I think it would have to be two young Heat prospects. The reason I threw in those two is Bradley Beal can replace most of their skill set. That's the reason I wouldn't do, say, Adebayo and Herro, or maybe even Adebayo and Winslow, because then you have nothing up front also. So I think that's the most viable. Not saying that Washington would even be willing to do that, but Leroy, I think the youth of those guys would mesh a lot more to what Washington does, to the point, I believe, that you might not be forced to take John Wall as well.
There's no way they could trade Adebayo after what
they've said about him,
and what he means to the franchise.
And also the role he fills. I mean, this team has, buku perimeter players that you have Dragic for one more season. You have Herro. You have Jimmy Butler. You have Kendrick Nunn, Beef's favorite. You have enough young guys like that on the wing. But I can't see a power rotation, honestly. If you're asking me who's the most irreplaceable starter on the Heat right now, and I know this sounds odd that I bypass Jimmy Butler, but if Jimmy Butler's not there, like we saw, you have Deion Waiters, you could have Gore, and you could have Herro. If you don't have Bam Adebayo, do you guys feel comfortable? Could you even fathom the notion of starting Olynyk and Myers-Leonard together? And that's what you might have to do.
No.
It's the old adage back in the Big Three days when Spo said that Bosch was the most important guy because they didn't have a replacement for him.
Yeah, because in the niche that he fills. So I think sort of Bam is the guy it starts with. When you look at that Heat injury report, as long as Bam is in the lineup, I think this team has enough versatility, like you guys mentioned, to make it work.
One more before we get you out of here, Ira. What have you found the most interesting thing with this whole NBA China controversy that's going down, kind of from the outside looking in?
I don't want to get too political here. No one does. But as much as people are talking about the whole freedom of speech and that an NBA GM can't speak what he wants, I think the human rights violations have been overlooked for so long. It bothers me that the NBA has this great social platform right now, and the one thing they're doing is they're going all in on freedom of speech when there's so much else going on there behind the scenes in China and the human rights situation. I think everyone has this peg right. You can be one of two things. You can be the money pigs like the NFL, where all it matters is the next dollar. Or you could be the social reformed NBA that's getting into that other sphere. You can't have it both ways. You can't be the money pigs and you can't be the social reform people. So now all of a sudden the NBA is realizing maybe Roger Goodell and the way he worships the dollar is the bottom line of this is a business. Because guys, if this continues, this is the money more than even broadcast money the NBA was counting on to carry it through. And I think you will see a dramatic retrenchment in the amount of money of salaries and salary cap if China goes away. So I think we're at a moment of truth now. What matters more? Social improvement, making the world a better place, or getting every last Roger Goodell dollar?
All right, Ira, real quick. In a fight.
Oh, no.
My God.
In a fight, you have 79-year-old
Chuck Norris,
or me. Who you got?
I think, Leroy, you might have the quickness to, at worst, run away if it gets ugly. So I would say you have the youthful speed factor.
You what? Now you got me running away? Oh my!
But you have that advantage.
No shame.
You can. He's on the walker with the two tennis balls. You are still somewhat fleet, so I would go for that. But if you were in the steel cage, hey, I gotta go with a guy who, with one punch, it's all over.
Oh.
And that's not my favorite running back.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care, man. Have safe travels.
I got to go put my Beast t-shirt back on. Thank you.
He's Tyra so Windham, irate.
I appreciate joining us each week.
I don't like that guy. That guy. I don't like him.
We'll be back with more after this. Welcome back, guys. Thanks again to Ira Windeman for joining us.
Ira playing one of our favorite games, just throwing it out there with that trade.
I love it. I love it. I told Leroy that, though, man. I said there was fodder with this whole Bradley Beal, Tyler Hero thing. It's going to be a thing. Now, Ira's adding the caveat. He's throwing justice in there, and he's probably right. Like, look, the one thing that Heat fans got to realize, if you want to do this, you got to be a big boy about it, and you got to actually put up your valuable assets. Your first-round picks are all tied up with OKC and all that nonsense, so unless there's going to be a scenario where you take Chris Paul and you're able to weasel your way getting picks back, you're kind of hamstrung on assets. It has to be current guys on the roster. But that does have to be a question. Is are you going to be in a position where you're going to go with this crew and that's what it is next to Jimmy Butler? You know, maybe this team looks fun, man. And maybe it'll be a three seed in the East. And, you know, who knows? Who knows? But, you know, Riley doesn't play for three seed in the East. Now, maybe now he will because it's been three out of 5 years they missed the playoffs. So, you know, they might be thrilled with that for right now. But this is a championship organization. That dude plays for keeps. So if he sees that Scotty Drippin can land him another Orca, he's gonna do it, man. That's what
I don't call them whales anymore. I'm after orcas. They're killer whales. You know, the whale is gone. They're not as good anymore. The orca is what I'm after.
Yeah, man. Like he's the Don. That's what he goes out and does. Now, look, doesn't mean you're not. See, Leroy is always gonna want to do this, where he's gonna want to box me and be like, "Oh, you traded Tyler Hero. You made your choice." I'm not making my choice, all right? I want to see what Tyler Hero turns into. I'm having fun watching him play basketball. I like watching Justice Winslow play basketball, but I'm just thinking how this organization has thought for the history of their existence since he's been here. And that is Lamar Odom, Caron Butler, I trade you for Shaq, okay? Young assets, I move you for the star. That's what he does. That's what he's always done. That's how he plays. That's the way he runs his organization. It's not for everybody. Some people like to go in, they get draft picks and they last for longer. And yeah, it'll have more longevity. That's for sure. But at the end, he still won a lot of championships. He's won a lot of championships running this organization that way. So I think that's the way he'll go. I don't know. And I don't even know if that's going to be enough. Wizards might be in this position where they're going to hold out and they feel like they can get a king's ransom like the Pelicans did for Anthony Davis. And they'll get young guys and four draft picks.
You think Bradley Beal's Anthony Davis, though?
I don't.
You see what I'm saying?
I don't think he's that, but it doesn't mean that they're not going to be in a position right now where they're going to stay until they feel like they can find the perfect team to sucker everybody for everything.
Do you put – I almost put Bradley Beal in the same boat as Jimmy, right?
I think that's totally fair.
Right? Like, they're not, you know, the five or six guys that – are elite,
right,
supermax on one leg type guys, but they're that second tier, right, where you can win with them, but you will always have a question, can they be that guy against the other star?
The question now with the Heat is, now you have them together, and is that good enough? Because I certainly think
that... Okay, well, let's compare. I mean, James Harden and CP3? It's unfair because CP3 is always hurt.
Well, CP3 is in OKC now, so it's
right.
James
no,
Harden
so
and Russ.
so no, but those are two. Like, is Russ is elite, elite, or is James Harden elite, elite?
Yeah, James Harden is. James Harden's certainly elite, elite.
But I
think Russ is probably. Yeah, I think you still got to put Russ there. I know he's not. Listen, I know he's not everybody's darling as far as the metrics are concerned and all that, but he's a mother bleeping MVP. He's having a triple double the last 3 years.
Because understand this. Let's set the bar here, okay? I don't think when Boston won it, they had a big two like LeBron and Wade, Steph and KD. You see what I mean? As far as the two stars,
no,
right?
They had Kevin Garnett and they had Ray Allen with Paul Pierce.
I mean, but I guess... I guess KD at the time was that on that level, but was, you look at Paul Pierce as being.
No, I think Paul Pierce is the worst of the three of those guys.
Right.
But he still was. I mean, he was their final MVP.
No, I know, but I'm just like, so was Andre Iguodala. Stop, dude. That means nothing. You had a good stretch.
Wait, it doesn't mean nothing.
I mean, it's not the conversation I'm having. It has no relevance to it.
Yeah, I hate
because you had a good stretch.
Hey, you want to call Paul Pierce a bum? I'll call him a bum all day.
I'm not calling him a bum.
I'll do it.
Would you say Paul Pierce? Is Paul Pierce a star like the stars we're talking about, like LeBron and D Wade, KD,
no,
and stuff?
Not.
Oh, he's that second tier. He's the Jimmy Butler.
He thinks he is. He
Bradley
thinks
he is. Beal.
They don't love you like Kobe. They don't love you like Kobe, Paul.
You see what I'm saying?
He's next level.
So the reason why I said it is that.
No, but if you were to put Jimmy Butler, I guess if you were to add Bradley Beal to Jimmy Butler, and that was going to be your tandem.
Then, and don't forget.
It's going to be Milwaukee with Greek Freak and whatever they put around him. Okay? Because right, I don't know if they're going to be able to put another star around
him. No, don't
him.
They have, they got rid of Bledsoe.
No, they have Bledsoe. The Brogdon went to Indiana.
Okay. So they kept Bledsoe.
And then you have Philly and whatever they're going to turn into with whatever Ben Simmons develops into. Joel Embiid, whatever his ceiling is, and J-Rich, Tobias Harris, and Al Horford.
They show Ben Simmons making a three like 1,000 times.
Oh, my God. It's going to be nonstop. Ben Simmons makes a three. Alert on your phone. Ben Simmons made a three-pointer. Ben Simmons did what a professional basketball player should do. And congratulations, Ben Simmons.
Right.
You're like my son when he goes poop in the potty. He wants me to tell him I'm proud of him every time he does it now.
You should.
And I do.
You should.
Because I'm his father.
Pat him on the back.
Ben Simmons and his father, he should say, I'm proud of you for making that three, son. The rest of us, should we?
Nah.
Should we?
Nah.
It was in a blowout. It was like 2 seconds left, and they let him shoot it, and it was...
I'm torn. Look, I love me some Scotty dripping. I'm loving the best drip here.
Best drip here.
His trash talk. I can't wait till he inevitably starts his first fight on the court, which is gonna happen because apparently he just never stops talking trash. Which is, by the way, the only place he talks. He doesn't talk off the court. He's Pat Riley's. I saw in Shandell Richardson's piece today that Pat Riley said he's spoken 5 words to him since they've drafted him. He says, hello, Mr. Riley, and that's it. Puts his head down and works. So, you know, he's inevitably going to start a fight on the court because he talks uber trash, which I love, and he's 19.
He's going to be put in his place real early by some...
No.
You don't think some veteran's going to...
Nope.
Nope. What they did the other night to Zion, bounce the ball off his head?
I think he's going to walk to. I think he's going to walk to the sidelines, and UD's going to tell him, so what you going to do? And that means... that I have to go now punch this person in the face.
I don't think that's how it's going to go.
And then Tyler Hero is going to be suspended for 8 games.
I think UD is going to be like, dude, why don't you be here a year before you run your mouth?
No, what? No.
Yes.
You're crazy.
I'm not crazy.
No, it's
you heat. Can't have a rookie running your mouth.
No, it's Udonis Haslem. It's Heat and everybody else. Udonis Haslem is going to go tell him, here's what you need to do. You need to go punch that dude right in the face. Square in the mouth.
Oh, say no, old head. Why don't you use your 6 fouls?
No. No, that's not what he's going to say.
Wait a minute.
He's going to say,
what
yes
are you doing?
He's going to say, yes, Udonis.
You called him old head.
That's what you called the old guys. That's not a knock.
One. He might call him old head.
That's not a knock. Give me my minus ones back, because they are wrong.
No.
That's what they call
you
him.
You don't get it back.
They call, I bet you some of the guys on the team call you D.O. head.
They're on the team, you're not.
You're like Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah, the minus one stands for character.
Yeah. You are the Vontaze Burfict on the subject.
Yeah, you are the Vontaze Burfict of Udonis.
I'd like the Vontaze Burfict a couple of people here.
Well, obviously you can't to Chuck Norris.
All right, speaking of NFL.
He just turned into dust. Just poof.
Nope.
Bro,
dust.
Nope.
One finger to the juggler, you're dead.
No shot. I think he roundhouses him.
I don't know if he
really.
Like,
you think I'm gonna sit around while old ass Chuck Norris roundhouse kicks me?
Roundhouse.
So let's be honest, Chuck Norris might break a hip if he tries to roundhouse.
I think he's in great shape.
He still trades.
Can we get him
out
on the phone? Can we book Chuck Norris for this?
Just to say, can you beat up Leroy?
Yeah, we'll send him a video of Leroy, the hype video when we make it. And then we'll just ask Chuck, like, do you think you can take this guy?
There's a liar in the NFL. That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.